This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, which I really look forward to every week. It's an opportunity for me to riff along with our nutritionist in residence, Layla Uden, and we respond to your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We got a little bit of a lull in our question flow. We have enough questions for today's program, but I think people were really preoccupied with the election, and things, ultimately, I think will settle down. We'll get back into a routine. We'll have a full bank of questions coming up next week. But we got plenty to talk about today. So,
right.
Radio
and just
program
as a reminder to everybody, the place for questions is radioprogram@AOL.com.
Indeed,
that's radioprogram@AOL.com.
And you stand an excellent chance of getting your question right up to the front of the queue, at least for the time being, until our inbox gets overloaded. Then may take a couple of weeks, but if you keep listening, you'll eventually hear your question answered.
Yeah, and
a lot of people like that. All right. So before we get to questions, I am really gratified to see an article in the Annals of Family Medicine. And by the way, family medicine is the it's the front lines of primary care in America.
Yes.
Internal medicine is adult medicine, but family medicine, it's a great training program. There weren't that many family medicine training programs in New York when I trained, so I opted for internal medicine. If I had my druthers, I would have done family medicine because it enables you to treat, gynecological conditions and pediatric conditions and adult conditions. It's really like good old-fashioned country doc. If your kid fell out of the treehouse and, broke his arm, go to the family medicine country doc and he'd patch you up. And he'd also be the one to birth your babies. He when you go see him, and he's a little older, he may have actually delivered you, in that tradition. So in their lead medical journal, it's entitled Annals of Family Medicine, there is an article entitled Thyroid-Stimulating Hormone Stability in Patients Prescribed Synthetic or Desiccated Thyroid Products, a Retrospective Study. Now, to translate that, what they did is they took a bunch of people who took synthetic thyroid, like Synthroid or L-thyroxine, or levothyroid, this is the standard thyroid medication, versus people who took the natural thyroid, things like Armour thyroid and Nature Thyroid and NDT, natural desiccated thyroid, which we get custom compounded. And it's been my experience over, well over three decades of practice that the natural is often superior to the synthetic. However, that flies in the face of conventional endocrinology, which has maligned the natural desiccated thyroid. I've heard it referred to as piggy thyroid because it's actually extracted from porcine thyroid tissue. It's natural. But, they call it piggy thyroid. They say, it's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. The patients can easily overdose. It's much safer and more reliable to use the synthetic. Well, what they're saying in the study is that the results were identical in terms of the blood tests when they compared. So their conclusion, and I've got the study in front of me, and I'll discuss it further in our newsletter next week. I think it'll be a good subject to tee off on. The results of the study show no difference between synthetic levothyroxine and desiccated thyroid in the percent of TSH values in range over 3 years of follow-up. This was an unanticipated finding, given concerns for variability between batches of desiccated thyroid cited by national guidelines. By the way, you know, in terms of national guidelines, as a Medicare patient, they won't cover natural thyroid. When our patients turn 65, they end up having to pay for their thyroid. But, you know, famously, Hillary Clinton has hypothyroidism, and she was on natural thyroid. I mean, she had the means to pay for it. She didn't have to rely on Medicare or, you know, Obamacare to pay for it. But she was kind of the poster girl for, she preferred the results with the natural thyroid. Okay, so so what they're saying here is, okay, so they're saying that the results are identical. So there's an editorial in the Annals of Family Medicine returning to a patient-centered approach in the management of hypothyroidism. In other words, ask the patients, how do you feel?
Yeah. Right?
You know, because they've demonstrated that it's pretty safe. And there's also an editorial here, keep desiccated thyroid as a treatment option for hypothyroidism. So for many years, I mean, literally, I thought at various times, like, oh, my God, you know, they might, an endocrinologist who's angry at me for putting a patient on desiccated thyroid, armor thyroid, might refer me to the medical board, you know, might complain that some quackadoodle doctor is prescribing the wrong kind of old-fashioned medication, you know, when the modern guidelines suggest that, you know, we switch to the synthetic. And, you know, that it never happened, thank goodness. But I know personally the cases of some doctors who've actually had to undergo the ordeal of a medical investigation and sometimes, you know, a trial, you know, with the potential of losing their license or getting their license suspended or getting fined for indulging in this way out therapy, which turns out to be validated now as being...
Which is not so way out.
Right. So what this study doesn't speak to, it doesn't speak to how patients feel. It just says it's safe. But in my newsletter article, I'm going to, you know, expand on this, but there are several articles coming out within the last couple of years, one in particular in 2018, which talked about patient satisfaction on these natural medications. And they said that in many cases, patients much preferred the natural. They felt better. They felt better. So that's why they say, let's return to patient-centered practice. I love that idea, is don't just treat the blood test. Talk to the patient. See how the patient feels. See how the patient's doing. You know, as long as it's safe. I mean, certainly we don't want to give, you know, patients the jitters or palpitations. We have to be careful because, you know, it's thyroid medication. If it was, you know, if it was completely safe and innocuous, we would just, it would be sold over the counter, you know, along with, you know, Tylenol and Advil. You know, you just pick up your thyroid in the pharmacy and take as much as you want, you know. I mean, if you feel like you need weight loss, take a ton of it, you know, because it'll increase your metabolism. Or, you know, you feel tired, take some thyroid. Yeah, you know, it's like Starbucks, you know, double espresso, whammo, you know, coffee. So, yeah, that was very gratifying. I mean, I don't know. It's nice to be vindicated, but it took so long. It just took so long.
Well, hopefully this is a study that will be taken into account by doctors, family practitioners, endocrinologists, and not poo-pooed.
Yeah, I think doctors are afraid to depart from guidelines, and for so long the guidelines have specified using synthetic thyroid that, you know, it's endocrinologists are, I think, a very cerebral brand of doctors. They are thoughtful, and you know, I love endocrinology because it probes the metabolism. And I think that some of them will be encouraged to not forego the use of natural thyroid for some of their patients, not poo-poo it as much. And, you know, I appreciate that because some patients come to me because they can't find another doctor who's going to prescribe the natural thyroid that makes them feel good.
Yes. You know, and, yeah, you know, we've seen that.
Mm-hmm. You know, 25 or 50 years hence, when I may not be around to prescribe it, I hope that there's still some acceptance of this and that it doesn't, you know,
doesn't go away.
Go, you know, go by the boards. Anyway, it's encouraging. Okay. I'm glad I stuck to my guns.
Yeah.
35 years. Okay. Let's get to questions. Radioprogram at AOL.com is the destination for questions. So fire away, Leila. And I've got a couple. I've got a couple in the mail in my mailbox too.
You've got a couple too. Yeah. You want to start with yours?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not? Here's a question about supplements versus medication for blood pressure. What about super beets? Mm-hmm. Would it help lower blood pressure? And so, you know, let's talk about natural interventions for blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides losing 5 to 7% of your weight, that will help as a lifestyle modification. Changes in diet. If you're having alcohol, any amount of alcohol may be problematic for blood pressure, but if you are a frequent or regular or heavy drinker, it will definitely impact your blood pressure by raising cortisol and everything else. Also, things to eliminate, like caffeine may be a problem for many
caffeine-sensitive individuals, and it depends. It's genetic.
Right.
It's genetic.
It's genetic, but, you know, it still has the ability to constrict blood vessels. Mm-hmm. And while those blood vessels are constricted, you may show a higher blood pressure reading. I tell everybody, when you've got a doctor's appointment that day, don't have a cup of coffee. Come in truly fasting.
Right.
Nothing but water.
And don't come to my doctor's office in New York and get your blood pressure checked, because if you're coming in, you know, through the Lincoln Tunnel from New Jersey or through the Midtown Tunnel and, you know, there's a big traffic jam or, you know, a truck gets stopped, your blood pressure is probably going to be high by the time you get in.
Right.
And then, you know,
right. Yeah, blood pressure is like an accelerator. If you've exercised, your blood pressure will be up for a while, but then it should come down to a very healthy level. So nitric oxide, that's really what we're talking about here when we're talking about beets.
Okay, so I just so happen to have hot off the presses an article from Science Direct. It's published in Clinical Nutrition Journal. Check out this date, December 2020. We're not even in December 2020.
You know, whoa!
So this is like hot off the presses.
You are in the know.
Yes, this is very timely, and it actually addresses this question. Super beets is one of the popular, I would say, retail brands of beet extract. And they've done a very extensive media campaign. It's on radio and it's on TV, and they're formally a sponsor. Our current sponsor is Berkeley Life, and they make a professional-grade beet extract that purports to have a vasodilating effect, okay? That's what nitric oxide does. It opens up the arteries, promotes circulation, and hence, theoretically, could be helpful for blood pressure. So in this study, December 2020, effect of a plant-based bioequivalent inorganic nitrate, nitric oxide complex with vitamins, antioxidants, and phytophenol-rich food extracts in hypertensive individuals. It's a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, which is the best kind of study.
Right.
And I noticed that one of the authors is a guy who's been a frequent guest on my program, Dr. Matthew Budoff from UCLA. And Dr. Budoff is a conventionally oriented guy. He's done a lot of work with coronary artery scanning. He's an expert on the coronary artery scoring, you know, whether you have calcium deposition in your coronary arteries, that's his thing. But he's also very open to the study of natural agents. So he's done some research on chiolic aged garlic extract, and we've had him on to talk about it. And he's also done doing now some research on these nitric oxide supplements. But there's like, you know, a dozen co-authors along with him, you know, as a research team. Mm-hmm. So let me read to you. The study assessed efficacy of plant-based bioequivalent nitrate complex to produce nitric oxide in relationship to lowering blood pressure in both men and women. The results were, after 12 weeks, what do they do? They took daily dosing of, what was the dosage? I think it was like 2 a day.
Mm-hmm. Standard dose?
Standard dose, yeah. After 12 weeks, there was an average reduction in systolic blood pressure of 12 and a half points.
Wow, that's significant. 12 and a half points.
But the placebo group had a reduction in blood pressure also, 6 points.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, so it's a, you know, study, but still that's a lot better. The nitric oxide supplements also reduced diastolic blood pressure by 5 points, while there was no significant reduction in the placebo group.
Wow, okay.
Also, they measured what's called endothelial function, which is the, you know, the surface of the artery is the endothelium. And yes, you can measure function by means of various tests that measure blood flow. And, you know, when they put a cuff on you, they pump it up and then they relax it and they see how quickly the blood resumes normal flow. So that's, I mean, you know, it's a sophisticated test for endothelial function. And they say it improved at 12 weeks when compared to the placebo group. So their conclusion is endothelial function improved robustly, reducing both systolic and diastolic blood pressure in hypertensive individuals with daily supplementation of dietary nitric oxide. Very cool study. It answers the question. So, you know, so the question is, you know, super beets, if you want. Eat mm-hmm. beets, absolutely eat beets. Here's a good way to get a lot of nitric oxide. I do this every night. Arugula is rich in nitric oxide, in nitrates, dietary nitrates, which get converted to nitric oxide. So I make an arugula salad very often. Mm-hmm. It's a routine with me, over which I chop some beets, cooked beets, and then you know, I'll sprinkle some walnuts on it, which have an anti-inflammatory effect, according to a recent study, very nice study, showing a lot of anti-inflammatory effects of a daily walnut serving. And, you know, for some onions, some chopped onions, maybe you could, you know, maybe if I have some leftover bacon bits, I'll put that over there, you know, for a little, like a little extra flavor. You got any ideas on how to spice that up? Is that something that...
An arugula salad, I've got in there also herbs. Mm-hmm. I don't have a salad that does not also contain dill and parsley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I like the curly parsley better than the flat leaf. The flat leaf is fine. Mm-hmm. I find the curly a little more flavorful in a salad. Mm-hmm. Nicer to munch on. I've got cucumbers in there, carrots, celery. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll have some tomato in there.
You know, with parsley... I eat just about everything, but I have an aversion to raw parsley. I don't mind throwing it into cooking, but, you know, I used to have a dog that would eat everything. I mean, he would eat like a billy goat. He'd eat like metal cans if you gave
it to gosh.
Him. But the one thing he would do very fastidiously, he would take the parsley and he would leave it at the side of his bowl. Eat everything.
I didn't like it either.
Yeah. And I
he
might be
that from his owner.
I might be part dog because I whatever. So what this study says is that dietary nitrates derived from the specific proprietary product, which I believe is identical to what the Berkeley Life people are selling, can have a blood pressure reducing effect. You know, we have to be careful with medical claims, and this is an early preliminary study, and, you know, I don't want to say this is the end all and be all. It needs to be replicated, but it's encouraging. That principle can be invoked to lower blood pressure. But we need to, you know, blood pressure is a multifaceted thing, and we need to, you know, work on exercise. We need to work on relaxation,
cardio,
stress reduction. I was just at a wedding this weekend, which was weird because it was my first socially distanced wedding. People were wearing masks. The wedding was held outside, and we lucked out because it was November, but it was actually very balmy weather. And then we went inside, and inside was not really inside because it kept all the doors open. It got kind of cold inside. Everybody was wearing masks. We weren't allowed to dance. We weren't allowed to dance. You know, it was a really weird wedding. Notwithstanding that they had a great man, but it was like you wanted to get up and dance, but dancing not permitted.
Did the singer sing with the mask on?
No, the singer sang without a mask. So, you know, whatever.
Good.
It's kind of inconsistent.
Just curious, at this
wedding, you know, I did talk to a relative, and, you know, she's about 70, and she's complaining she has high blood pressure. Well, one of the reasons she has high blood pressure is an enormous amount of stress because, you know, there's all kinds of family stuff going on, and you know, she's dealing with her sister who has some severe problems, or some you know, illness in the family. She's well. She says, you know, she eats well. She follows, you know, she plays tennis every day. But she says the stress is getting, you know, so stress is a factor. I really think it ultimately gets to people. So, yeah.
We have to change our reaction to it. We have to remember to breathe.
Yeah. And you know, maybe with the election over, there could be a little bit of a national exhalation, you know, like a, it's like, get past it already. And, you know, let's get on with things. And let's, you know, work on being healthy. And, you know, if you want to be politically active, do so. But don't gnash your teeth over every, contrary news story that you see on cable news, you know. Ration yourself.
Exactly.
That's actually what I've been doing in the past few days. It's like I can only take so much.
Right. No, you've got to turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, they should do a study on watching cable news and measuring amounts of cortisol and measuring people's blood pressure and doing all kinds of looking at all those markers.
But you know what they would do? They would do it as market research to see if it was effective TV, because if it doesn't engage your primal emotions, amygdala, you know, the primitive part of your brain, then it's not good. It's not good ratings. You know, it's like you want to engage your audience. It's like, no, don't just blandly report the news. It's, yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Right.
We monetize our, you know, emotional engagement these days.
Fine line between engage and terrorize, it appears to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, listen, other foods that are high in nitric oxide or can help, high in nitrates, arugula, as you said.
Yeah.
Definitely things like parsley, which I know you don't like. I do. Many people do. It's also a great breath neutralizer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of green leafy vegetables, your lettuces, your kale, your chard, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So eat plenty of those. Eat watercress. Watercress is also a superstar in terms of antioxidants. Watercress is a wonderful one. I forget about that. I need to go look for watercress. These are wonderful. And you know, because the study says, and it's apropos that it's after 12 weeks that they saw these results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to your doctor and your doctor is telling you have high blood pressure, and they generally will give you 3 months if you want to make the lifestyle changes first.
Yeah.
So that's a good amount of time. That's a fair amount of time.
Unless it's rip-roaring high, dangerously high. You
exactly.
Know,
but, of course. You know. That's a different scenario altogether.
Yep.
You can't come with 220 over 140.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's an emergency.
A corollary
to that, something interesting is it's been shown that taking strong antiseptic mouthwashes, you know, I guess something like Listerine might fit the bill for that, kill off the beneficial bacteria in your GI tract that, you know, which actually start in the mouth. Which can be a catalyst for the conversion of dietary nitrates to nitric oxide. It takes a couple of steps to make that conversion. And it turns out that our microorganisms in the mouth and in the GI tract are responsible for that. So you may actually reduce the efficacy of dietary nitrates by chronic use of antiseptic mouthwashes.
Right.
Which have chemicals in them, which you know may not be that great for your body anyway. So
that's true. That's true.
So so use parsley. You got a breast pump, eat a lot of parsley. Yeah.
Use parsley.
Oh, maybe, I mean, look, I could, if I put my mind to it, I can get, you know, if I can swim in like 56 degree water, I can eat parsley, you know.
Listen, there are so many other good foods out there that you could skip the parsley, Dr. Hoffman. You're otherwise a very good vegetable eater.
Indeed.
So
indeed.
That's what's required.
And let's also mention the effects of heat and cold. Heat, like sauna, has a good effect on blood pressure. You have to be careful. If you're taking a lot of blood pressure medications, you have a heart problem, you have to be careful in a superheated sauna. So, you know, ask your doctor if you're healthy enough for a sauna or for a steam room. The other thing is actually cold. Cold and heat, you know, these extremes tend to condition the vascular system in a way similar to exercise to create circulatory resilience and plasticity, shall we say, the ability to adapt to different circumstances. So, you know, those are part of the recipes. Anyway, let's pause now because we, you know, we need to go to our midpoint. And in part two, give us a preview of what we're going to tackle in part two.
Okay. I take probiotics. Can you tell me the dose or the appropriate probiotic to take after a colonoscopy or a course of antibiotics or a bout of diarrhea?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Let's tackle that question in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Radio program at AOL.com gets you into the doctor's office so that you can pose a question for next week's edition of Q&A with Layla. We'll be right back.